Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
Upon the stage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, the news.
20 minutes, Dead or Live, on the news, spread out.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into adversarial time
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now, on to our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. You're listening to The Ooze Outbreak. This is Jason Sorrell and with your host, T.C. Downey, and tonight we're going to be talking about catty bitches. We're going to be talking about women and the way they kind of treat each other. And this shit's always fascinating to men. We're always kind of blown away by the way women think and the way they interact and the way they deal with one another, because it's so foreign and alien to the way that we deal with each other. It's entertaining and scary all at the same time. So we're going to spend an hour kind of bullshit about that. But before we get into that, how are you doing tonight, TC?
I'm doing, I guess, well, man. I guess well. So I'm kind of chuckling because I know you're a little slap happy. And it's funny to hear you try to vocalize over the nasalness. So I just, you know, wanted to point that out there. You know, no reason for there to be an elephant in the room we're not paying attention to.
Yeah, I'm working with a little head cold or a little allergy thing going on, and on a whole bunch of pills and chugging a full throttle right now, so it's going to be an interesting show.
Right on. Right on, right on, man. Definitely going to be an interesting show. I think it's kind of comical that we're talking about catty bitches when, you know, you're actually probably pretty damn cranky at this point in time, so... the irony never stops, man.
No, I'm good. I just want this to be a fun show and everything else, but if you hear me sniffling and sneezing in the background, I'm all right. I'm not going to die or anything else. This should be a good time.
Here's the deal. If you feel like you have to sneeze and you're going to sneeze on the air, the rule is going to be real simple. You have to say a three-syllable word while you're sneezing. So.
Right on.
Anyway, go ahead.
Before we roll into it, and we want people to call in, especially women, we want you to call in, and we want you to tell us your stories. And before I get to what I was about to say, what I want you to think about, I've got kids, and TC's got kids, and so a lot of what we reference, you know, are kids stuff, kids movies and things like that. There's a scene in the movie, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Tim Burton, Willy Wonka movie. There's a scene where the two girls, they just get to the chocolate factory, they're walking down the hall, and they look at one another, and one of the girls goes, "Let's be friends." And the other girl smiles at her and goes, "Best friends." And they hold their hands, and they look away from each other, and they have this totally stern, evil bitch look on their face. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to be talking about tonight. That's the kind of thing that kind of fascinates us about women and the way they interact. And I'm going to cite some examples based on what I've heard from other people, and I'm sure TC's, you know, he's got some stories too and everything else, but we'd really dig it if the ladies would call in, or if guys have seen some shit and want to talk about something that blew their mind with the way that women deal with one another. The number to call in is 347-989-1371. So 347-989-1371, we'll be looking for your call. But before we roll into it, man, I didn't get a chance to talk about this during the pre-show, TC. I'm actually working on getting a couple of art gigs going here with my erotic artwork. There's a sex shop here in town. They're kind of a chain, Forbidden Fruit. They're we're kind of talking about doing a show, hanging some artwork up, and being in their in one of their shops for about a month, and maybe doing like an opening night where there's kind of a party and everything else. And that's all in the negotiation because there's some big BDSM convention in Dallas that they're getting all wrapped up for. So that'd be after April. But then we have this really, it's kind of an Austin landmark, the Seaholm Power Plant downtown. It's got this retro 50s, 60s feel to it and everything else. And they've turned it kind of, it is still a working, functioning power plant, but they've kind of turned it into this, it's a banquet hall and it's got all this other stuff in it and everything else. And it's really, really, really swank, really nice. And there's a group called Art Erotica. And they've asked that if I would be interested in having some of my artwork as part of their big to-do that they're organizing. I'm not sure when exactly this is going to be this year. They're still trying to work out some of the details and everything else. But it's kind of cool that kind of all of a sudden I've got a couple of art shows coming up. And it's out in the real world, not just on the internet. So I'm kind of jazzed about that.
That's awesome, man. That's a win for creativeoddities.com, wouldn't you say?
Right on. Right on, right on. And, yeah, if you guys, I'll be generating some new artwork, obviously, for these shows. But if you want to check out some of the erotic artwork that I've got, www.creativeoddiestudios.com. The navigation on the website, it's a little hinky because you have to have a brain. You have to think about what you're doing. But when you go to the website, you go to the main page, you click on Jason Sorrell. Should be much more obvious than that. When you click on Jason Sorrell, it takes you to another page where you'll see all my different types of galleries. And if you want to see kind of some of the artwork that's getting me a little bit of a notice here locally, you just click on the Erotica button, and that will take you to the Erotica images. It's a little slideshow, so you can check out all that. And leave me your feedback. Shoot me an email. There's email links, I think, on pretty much every page. And let me know what you think.
Right on, man. Right on. I think we need to make a clear distinction that most of what we're talking about probably will not end in a wrestling scene.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's meant to end in a throwdown kind of thing. I don't think women are. I mean, women can definitely throw down when they want to throw down. They will fucking throw down, but. What we see is just like this. I see it. It's this constant treachery, this constant backstabbing, conniving, sort of dirty. It's almost like if guys fight wars amongst one another as foot soldiers, right? What we see with women is this sort of counterintelligence propaganda. Crazy ass, bullshit propaganda warfare, basically psychological warfare between women. So it's impressive. I mean, we're impressed. We're not here to knock women and everything else. It's impressive to behold when two chicks decide to go to war. The little dirty shit that goes on.
Go ahead. I was just
gonna do your thing, dude.
what I was going to say is I kind of have a whole theory about this whole thing. My theory is this. Now, we've all heard the story of Sun Tzu and his audition with the emperor, where he goes in and he says, look, I'm the guy to lead your army. And the emperor says, why? He says, because I have this method of how I do things or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so to demonstrate, he takes all of the concubines, all the women of the palace, and he sets them all up in their little formations and gives them some instruction or whatever as to what they're going to be doing. And then he goes to the front of them and he gives an order, and they don't immediately do what he tells them to do. And so, the whole thing then is he goes and he walks over and he beheads the one girl and tells the next girl she's in charge. And then from that point on, they started practicing and doing things exactly as he said. So I think Sun Tzu actually started, because he was really big into treachery and I'm trying to think of what the other words are for what I'm talking about at the moment, but like being sneaky, catty, so to speak, deceptive. That's the term, deception. So my theory is that this is something that's actually been being bred culturally by people who have a similar philosophy as Sun Tzu, that these little wars that they do are something that they're kind of, you know, trained in, you know, or maybe they're training in.
Right on, right on. And it's Machiavelli is another person I would look to as kind of an example of this kind of thinking. The prince, definitely, you see this amongst women, that it's as much an information war as it is anything else when women go at it. And what's funny, I think, is that women don't even have to know each other to engage in this kind of thing. I mean, I'm sure you've had this happen where you're sitting at a table and you've got some women with you and they see another woman walk into wherever you're at. Doesn't matter if it's a restaurant or whatever, okay? And they will smile. They will see the woman. They will look at her. They will make eye contact. And women, when they make eye contact with anybody, for whatever reason, it seems to be their reflex to smile at you. You know, that you've made eye contact and everything else. Hi, how you doing? That kind of thing, right? So the woman sitting across me smiles at this person. I don't even see this person, right? Smiles to this person, makes a little head nod and everything else, the public gesture, and then looks to me immediately and goes, Jesus, I can't believe that bitch is wearing that. Okay? And it's like, you just smiled at this woman. You just said hello and everything else, and now you're going to talk shit about her immediately. This is the kind of thing that we see with women, that guys don't do that. Guys don't go, look at this douchebag. If the guy looks like a douchebag, right away you're fucking pointing it out. You're pointing out and going, you're a douchebag. So we don't get it.
No, we don't get it at all. What's interesting to me, man, is, I mean, it can go on multiple levels, too. Like, there's the old cliche that single men have a hard time getting girlfriends because girls don't want single men. They want, they want somebody else's boyfriend, somebody who's tried and true. I think that kind of burns into it, too, a little bit.
Right. I think a lot of that has to do with they don't want the guy that there's no, you don't know for sure what a single guy is going to do. You don't know for sure if a single guy can handle being in a relationship or not, or handle taking care of another woman. But if another woman is with that guy, well, then he has added value because he's got something that convinced that other chick to be with him. So not only does he have, the looks and the obvious money or whatever it is that he would normally be attractive for, but he's also got some girl hanging on his arm. So, and she looks happy. So you can get that happiness by replacing that chick with yourself. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, really, really funny, too, the way it happens. I mean, I can remember in high school, every time there was a clique of girls that were friends for quite a while, the very next year, none of them would hang out with each other. And you come to find out that each one had slept with the other's boyfriend or stolen their clothes or something. It was just always
right. Yeah. I remember being the boyfriend of those cliques. So, yeah, exactly.
Right on, man.
So, we got a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and bring the caller on the line. Okay, hang on a second. Wait for it. All right. Caller, 512 area code. You are on the Ooze Outbreak. What's on your brain?
Hey, guys. What's going on? My name is Ken. Calling from Austin, Texas. I think on Sting.
Hey.
My name is Silver Dot. What's going on?
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, man, I just wanted to chime in. Great show, by the way. A lot of what you guys are talking about is female psychology. You learn a lot about that in sales, or even if you're just trying to be like a pickup artist or things like that. Like you were talking about sitting at the table. A lot of that stuff is competition between women. You see it a lot in the workplace, too. Like in a small office environment or something like that. They say most communication is not verbal, especially with women. It's all body language and energy and things like that. And, you're spot on with what you're talking about at the table, because it's about trying to demonstrate that higher value. You're able to demonstrate higher value to women just by your body language and the stories you tell and things like that. So other women are looking to see who other women are with, You know, I don't know if you ever notice attractive girls. They always travel in groups. You won't ever find a pretty girl by herself. And that's because they're like that, man. They're always comparing and they're always, you know, what's she wearing? What's she doing? Who's she talking to? But they don't say those things out loud. So I just thought that was interesting how you were hitting on some of the psychological aspects of that.
And it's funny that you mentioned the workplace environment, because I hear stories. I happen to know a woman who works in an office with nothing but other women. And the amazing catty bullshit, the little fucking inside snipes at one another, the snarky remarks, the things that you would never see in a professional workplace where there were men involved, men and women, you know, a co-ed kind of work environment. These women can be vicious and snarky and spiteful, and the next day they're all at lunch together like it's not a fucking big deal. So, like I said, it is. It's impressive to see all this shit and how it goes down and to hear about it. But from my understanding, if you're in a work environment where it's just women in an office, that's hell. That is fucking hell. Because you can't say what you mean. If you say what you mean, it's your ass.
Right on. Well, have you noticed somebody will get their hair done, and then all of a sudden somebody else will have their hair done? Somebody will buy a new shirt. Somebody else will buy on your shirt. Always trying to, somebody
right,
put on a little more makeup, you know? It's that competitive edge to be the queen bee type of thing, you know?
Yeah, they
right.
even go
I
to show up to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, dude.
I was going to say they even go so far as to go shopping together and actually go to the beauty salon together and stuff because of the same characteristic that he's describing.
Well, that's a group of chicks that have realized that there's no point in fighting amongst themselves. They got to defend themselves against other women. So that's all. They all go out and get their hair done and go shopping together. That way, that the it minimizes the internal competition. But I can go one better than the whole shopping thing. I've noticed that if you have a circle of chicks together and one of them gets knocked up, pretty soon they're all getting knocked up. They all want that attention about, you know, being pregnant. They're willing to go that fucking far to get the attention. It's crazy.
That is actually very true, man. I can think of about 4 kids that were all born within about 6 months of my child. So.
Right on, right on.
Yeah, that's pretty
well,
funny.
Well, cool. So, thanks for. Do you got anything else you want to add, man? Anything you want to throw in there?
Oh no, man. I just wanted to hop in there and, you know, talk about that whole psychological aspect, because that plays a big role between women with competition and just a little snide, like you were talking about, snide remarks and things like that. And you guys are right on. And just wanted to call and say, love the show and listen to it, man.
Thanks,
right on.
Man.
Where do you hang out in Austin?
In Austin, I'm on the south side. South side of Austin. I live probably about 10 minutes from 6th Street. So I'm right in the thick of it. I go out every weekend and try to play these girls, you know.
Jason, doesn't
right on. I live in Austin too, so been to 6th Street several times and everything else. So maybe I'll see you around, man.
Yeah, man, I'm on Sin almost every night, so that's where I hang out.
All right, man, cool. Well, we'll catch
you
later.
Man, you guys have a good one.
You too, man.
You too. So, let's see. I think it's taking off here. All right, cool, man. That's exactly the kind of shit that we're talking about, you know, it's mind-blowing. And I remember, you know, being in high school and being in college where exactly what he's saying, you get a clique of girls together. They are all friendly to one another, friendly to each other's faces, but as soon as you pull one away for whatever reason, that's why chicks don't go to the bathroom by themselves. Okay, chicks don't go to the bathroom by themselves because if they know they leave a number of women at the table while they're away, that the shit to be said is going to be said about them. You know, what they're wearing, what they're doing, what they said. They're going to talk shit about that chick, and then when she gets back, they're going to pretend like everything's okay. So if a chick's got to go up and go to the bathroom, she wants to make sure that every woman at the table is going up and going to the bathroom with her. That way there's no shit talking while she's gone. Or she doesn't miss out on the shit talking while she's gone.
Right on. Right on. I think it's more of a not miss out than I'm worried about you being talked about, but what do I know?
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, you're missing out on something, but you know what? If they're not worried about the women talking shit about them, they should be. okay? Because these women, as soon as you pull, if you got this group of women, as soon as you pull one out, as soon as one walks away, they're going to start talking shit. They're going to start laying down the trip on that fucking way. Oh, did you see what she was wearing? Or, you know what, I really don't like that bitch. You wouldn't believe what she did at a party last night or whatever. They're going to dog her, even though 5 minutes ago they were her best fucking friend.
Right on. And what's amazing to me, man, I mean, I raised a teenage girl, and I know you have, too, and what's amazing is how much things like that really affect their lives, man. I mean, they'll go through whole identity changes to avoid that kind of criticism.
Right. Oh, geez, yeah, exactly. I've seen it with my daughter. Where she just, she's totally willing to change her attitude, change what she's listening to, change what she's got going on. I mean, she's not as bad about it as I've seen other women. When I was growing up, one of my father's sisters is only a few years older than I am. And she was with a different boyfriend in high school every couple of weeks. Every couple of weeks, it was a new style of clothes, a new style of music, a new style of whatever. And it was just mind blowing. You know, there was no original person there anymore. It was just whatever she needed to be in order to fit in.
Right on. Yeah, there we go. Sorry, I had technical difficulties for about 20 seconds there, man. So
that's cool. You know what? We'll take the moment to get the number again. 347-989-1371. I know we got some chicks listening to the show tonight, and we'd love to have you guys call in and go, tell us your stories. What is it that, and why? Why does this shit go down? Why do you, you're a woman, you're on the inside, you're walking around with the ovaries and the boobs and all that other shit, man. What do you got going on that's, what's the mindset? What's the rationale that makes you go, you know what, I'm going to just dog this girl that 5 minutes ago I would have, you know, talked about giving my life for? It just doesn't make any sense to us men folks. So we'd love to hear your stories.
Sure. Actually, what I think would be even maybe a little bit better is if they tell us the worst thing that they've ever done to another girl.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. And when you call in, we're just going to give your area code. You don't have to give your name or anything. So if the worst thing you did to some other girl, you're doing it right now, even better. We're not going to bust you. You know, you're not going to be called out on the ooze.
It'd be pretty comical, actually. Yeah.
So while we're kind of waiting on chicks to call in and everything else, we do a lot of floating. I do a lot of floating around on different forums and different things. And a lot of these forums, what you want to do is introduce yourself. So a lot of these forums have some place where they have a section for introductions, where, you know, you take the time to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and everybody says, hi, how you doing? You know, so you stand up and go, hey, my name's Jason, and it's been 3 days since I was on the Internet. And everybody goes, hi, Jason, or whatever. So talking about, some chick joins the forum. Before we get into that, we got a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and pull him up here. All right, 619 area code. What's on your brain, man?
Hey, Jason. This is Zach.
Hey,
guys,
Zach.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Oh, man, I got a real short story to tell you, man, a little of my personal insight onto
cool.
a woman. I dated, well, my fiance was the evilest woman in the world. All right, and I was really slow to catch on to this. I know everybody has one of these, but, you know, I think the underlying issue is this. Women, because I think they're physically, well, most of them are physically weaker than us men, feel that they need to sharpen their manipulative abilities. And I think that's probably reasonable. But women are actually the dominant sex. They really are. A lot of them don't realize
it. No, I agree with that.
And I was.
I agree with that, dude. Totally.
I was like, you agree with that? I do too, man. Because women really have us by the nuts. I mean, that's pretty much the bottom line. A majority of wars, majority of what we do in our sword fighting is usually for women. You know?
Literally.
So,
yes, absolutely.
And, you know, I had this evil woman, and I would go to a club. She was really beautiful, blonde bombshell. It was my fiance, and I would be out there dancing. She wouldn't like the song, whatever. So she'd sit at the bar, and some you know, sucker would come in there, not see that I'm with her, and buy her a drink. And she'd order like a $12 Grey Goose martini, right? Oh, sure, yeah, you can buy me a drink. I'd come back, you know, he'd be sitting next to her. And then she'd just hand me the drink and be like, oh, this guy just bought you a drink. And she'd give me a big old kiss in the face. And then she'd just walk away and go dance. And the dude would be looking at me like, what the fuck is wrong with your woman? I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do about it? I mean, that's just evil. Like us men have a dispute, right? We'll, like, be like, oh, fuck you. Oh, no, fuck you. Oh, you want to take it outside? And one of us will win, one of us will lose. But we don't remain butthurt for the amount of time that women do. And, like, other times, man, a woman will walk by my girlfriend, and she'd just be like a fucking cunt. I'm like, oh, you know her? No. I'm like, what did she do? She gave me the look. What look are you talking about? What do you mean, look? You don't understand. Like, I don't, but I'm trying to. I go take a piss, and they'd be out there fucking fighting and shit, and me and another dude be pulling them apart, and they always have each other's hair, so it's kind of almost impossible to pull them apart without people chasing their hair. It's evil, man. I don't understand women. I think we're wired differently. I think that we're never going to understand this mystery, and that's why they're going to be the dominant sex.
Well, and I totally agree that we're wired differently. I totally agree that, yeah, absolutely dominant sex. And what's funny is what we're talking about, I don't think anybody here is trying to understand it, man. I don't want to understand, right? I don't want that to be a part of my being, you know? But I find it fucking entertaining as hell. So we want some chance to call in and try to explain this shit just so we can kind of sit back and go, that's some good shit. So very cool, man. Very cool. So, I don't know if you want to hang out or you want me to let you go.
Yeah, go ahead and let me go, man. I just want to call and throw in my two cents real quick. It's a riddle to me, too.
All right, cool.
I'm no closer to understanding it than either one of you knuckleheads either.
Right on, man. But we're going to be fucking, we're going to be entertained by it. Later.
You know, what I'm actually thinking at this point, man, is that it's not so much that there's any real mystery to it. I think it's all right there out in the open. It's just where they've become successful is convincing you that it's a mystery. You know, the whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus thing. It's not really that. It's that, you know, they do behave this one certain way, and if you catch on to it, they're going to change it up to keep it looking mysterious.
Now, you know, it might even go further. It might even go something further than that. It might not just be a matter of them wanting it to appear to be a mystery. It might be a matter of them not wanting to admit that you could look at animals in nature and see how female animals interact and go, yep, that's what these chicks are doing. That's exactly what these women are doing. They don't want to admit that this is a basic instinctual thing to be a bitch to any chick that you think might have a better opportunity to mate with men than you do. So, you know, there's this constant, you know, cutting into one another to make sure that you're still the most eligible woman, the most eligible piece of ass in the immediate area.
Right on, man. I mean, actually, what's interesting is Howard Bloom talked about this a bunch in his book, The Lucifer Principle. I don't know if you read that or not, but... He described different social dynamics of, apes. I mean, which obviously we're not too far of a stretch off of that. And the reasons that he pointed to weren't exactly what I would have thought them to be, but they made sense in the context that he put them. You know, the right of bearing a child seemed to be what was the forefront and everything that it takes to accomplish that. You know, not only do you want to bear the child, but you also want to, bear the strongest one, the one that's going to survive. So, you know, it goes beyond just catching that mate. It goes to actually, like, genetically ensuring that, you know, your offspring are going to have the best chance of success. And I think that that's really where that cattiness comes in. You know, you see those old movies where there's some tension between two soccer moms, and that's exactly kind of how I think it goes down, you know?
Right on, right on. I guess, well, the other thing I see is, along those same lines that Howard Bloom was talking about, is that women, you know, by design, they work to appear attractive. Their whole thing, their body shape, the way they walk, the way they move, it's meant to gain attention. And with that being the strategy for mating or whatever, with that being the strategy for producing offspring, you want to be the woman that attracts the most attention. You want to be the woman that gets the most attention thrown your way or whatever. So when you get into a room with another woman who it's her vibe too to try to get some attention, a natural competition ensues. And while the two women, you know, could go further by, instead of getting into some bitch contest, they could start taking each other's clothes off and start making out right there in front of the room, and that would get all the attention that both of them could handle. They go into this bitch thing. They go into this fight. It becomes a competition. And I guess what we're trying to foster here at the U's is getting ladies to work together, because by coming together and performing a little striptease as a duet or a trio or whatever, and doing a little, you know, lesbian makeout thing, we'll be more attentive to you, and we'll definitely think more of you and have a greater level of respect for you, having that understanding of one another and taking the time to do those things.
Jason, you're passing your sneezes over this way, man. What the fuck?
Sorry, dude. I wanted to talk about it. I started to bring this up before Zach called in. And, hey, if you want to call in, let me find that damn phone number, 347-989-1371. If you want to tell us your story as a woman, I'm surprised we haven't had any women call in yet. If you want to tell us your story as a woman about what it's, you know, what it's like, what it's about, what's going on in your head when that kind of shit has gone down with you, or what kind of shit you're doing to other women right now, we'd love to hear it. In the meantime, we got these people putting on, you know, you got these boards, and on these boards you give up these introductions, okay? So this chick recently joined a forum that I'm participating in, and she put up an introduction, and I kind of wanted to go through this introduction because the catty bitchiness thing, what exactly we're talking about, this introduction just oozes with this kind of shit. Like, one of the statements she makes is, she's rebellious and she follows her own rules as her goddess has taught her. She said, teach me, your grammar sucks ass, okay? And I'm wondering if she recognizes the paradox there. She follows her own rules as per the instructions of a higher power. So which is it? Are you following your own rules? You're following the rules of this higher power. This is the kind of shit she thought it was cool and she thought it would get her attention, and this is the kind of thing we see out there out in the world.
You know, there's another edge to that I just kind of want to point to there, man, because maybe it's not as big of a paradox as you're saying. Maybe her own rules are the higher calling.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've read through the rest of this chick's introduction, and I don't think that she's that deep. Let's see here. She doesn't let anybody stand above her. Maybe if you earn it on your own, you'll be on the same level she is. So sorry, but I won't call anyone. By any respect, I know loyalty, respect, and honor. I mean no disrespect, but I won't even call the head of her little circle by any kind of official respecting title. This is her hard ass speech right here. This is the I'm a badass and you know, respect me and watch out for me. It's hard to become my close one, but rewarding. In other words, she's trying to say that she's worth the effort. You should assume that she's worth the effort right away. I shall protect people with my life, and I'm loyal and always there for them. Unless, of course, you disrespect her, as per the last line of bullshit she laid out. She strikes down anybody who opposes her or insults her. She'll strike down with superior wrath if she needs to. She will not lie and say, you know, that her life's worth anything to her, right? So she's this heavy-minded shit that we're talking about. She's going for a certain type of attention. But then her next line of bullshit is she likes to tease, she likes to drive people mad, and she likes sex. Okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's letting you know. She's letting you know all this higher-minded bullshit, but she's also letting you know that she will fuck. Okay? Okay, I can be very nice to most. Don't think that this introduction that I'm an arrogant bitch. So she knows she's sounding like an arrogant bitch writing this shit up. She recognizes it. The bitch detector's going off in her own head, but she's still running with it. and the rest of it's crap. You know, I can be a powerful friend or fearsome foe. She says that twice. You know, what should be up to you? And, oh, I'm addicted to music and smiles. Yeah, it sounds like it. You're goddess, you're killing, and you're sex, and you're every fucking else. You're addicted to smiles. That's nice. So this is a chick that just doesn't know what she's going. Backwards and forwards, in and out. She doesn't fucking know. And that's what you see, man. They don't know, you know, they don't know what they're going to run into with different women and everything else, because they know that they're just as conniving, just as fucking, you know, despicable or whatever, just as willing to betray, you know, somebody else. And that apparently is womanhood, I guess. So, anyways. Still waiting on those calls.
What's really funny here, man, is I think there's actually kind of behind the scenes kind of theme here, because we're not getting any calls from women at this point in time. So it's either A, we're right on the money and we've called this shit, or B, we're sleeping on the couch tonight. So,
now, you know what? I can say, and I know every guy can say this, I can say that as far as my woman's concerned, I think that anybody that's encountered my woman, either in the real world or online or whatever, that my chick doesn't get it as much as I don't get it, and she doesn't understand it. She doesn't play those games. She blows her mind when these women do play these fucking games. I don't have to worry about the whole being on the couch thing. But hearing from these other women, it's what's real bad is when they have this bitch sort of paradigm. They have this bitch sort of way of being. And when they expect their guys to understand the whole bitch vibe, the whole bitch paradigm. I heard one chick was talking about how she's got this dude, man. She's got this guy that would live and die for her, okay? I mean, a lot of us guys talk shit about how we would live and die for our woman or whatever, but this guy fucking meant it. I mean, this guy breathed that shit. This guy was willing to prove it in a minute's notice, okay? This guy, you know, no job. He's fucking over his children for this woman. You know, his kids don't always have the things that they need to have, but this chick always has what she needs, okay? So, you know, he's living, you know, living for the fucking ground she walks on and shit, and she just talks shit about the guy, about what an idiot he is, about how ridiculous he is and everything else. But then when you tell her, well, you know what, why don't you just tell the dude that shit? Oh, but no, I need those things from him that he gives me. And just the total bitchiness of the whole fucking thing, and she thinks the guy should get it. You know, if he understood that I was just with him for the money, he should just leave me. But he doesn't have the balls to do it. He's a pussy. That kind of thing just blows my mind. And it blows the minds of the people that I deal with. But it's, you know, it's, again, this bitch vibe. For some reason, there are women out there that think that's the way they're supposed to be.
Right on. I mean, I think they usually get the label baby's mama. But, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, man. You know, the whole thing has never made a whole lot of sense to me. What's really funny, though, is that, you know, unfortunately, it's not specifically by gender that this kind of behavior happens. And that in itself is a whole another ball of wax, because I really don't get that. If you think that I don't get, you know, why some women have to, you know, just constantly be in bitch mode, it makes even less sense to me why any guy would ever be locked in bitch mode, and I've seen a lot of them. A lot.
Yeah. You're right, dude.
So, ladies, don't think I'm just knocking on you. I'm knocking on the bitches. So.
Right. Yeah. It's not a gender thing. The thing is with the being with women. With women, there's a certain expectation sometimes that kind of thing is going to come from a woman. When it comes from a guy, when a guy's in bitch mode or whatever, when a guy's living that life, yeah, man, there's no explain. And you're totally disarmed by that too. You know, you're like, what the fuck, man? You're back there talking shit about me. You know, you didn't say it to my face. You know, they always get indignant about it too. they always go, well, you should have known. You should, you know, you should have known that, you know, I didn't like that. So you got what you deserve. You know, what the fuck is that, you know?
Right on. And the whole—it's just absurdity all by itself, man. But I just figured I'd throw that out there since apparently we've nailed this whole thing on the head so hard that we're not getting any female callers tonight. So.
if you chicks want to prove TC wrong, if you ladies would like to call and speak your voice, speak your mind, 347-989-1371. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear about your experiences and what you got going on. Now, you know, what's amazing, now here's what's really fucking crazy now about our society and about this kind of shit, okay? Because now we've got the internet, okay? The internet's a beautiful fucking thing. The internet's an incredible tool. And if you want to reach out and hurt somebody, if you want to reach out and fuck with somebody's life, there's nothing more valuable to you than the internet. What's fucked up, though, is that when you reach out and fuck with somebody, I mean, they got somebody's mom who totally understands the whole bitch mode, the chick code or whatever, who went on, set up some sort of account or whatever, became friends with one of her fucking friend's enemies or one of her daughter's enemies or whatever in school, got involved in that whole politics thing, all right, and then, like, convinced this other girl to kill herself or some shit, okay? Just that kind of nutso crazy shit going on. And now there are laws about cyberbullying. There are laws about what it is you can say or not say on the internet to another person. And people are getting arrested for this shit. And people are doing time for calling somebody a name on the internet.
Wow. Wow. That's. I wonder if that's what happened to Paul Valentine.
Didn't he die?
I thought
he died back in the 80s.
Yeah, he might.
I thought he swooped into that television show. He ended the Satanic Panic, and then he went someplace and died. He died a hero. I thought that's what happened with Paul Valentine.
No. He obviously went into bitch mode, and
oh, he went into bitch mode.
Yeah.
Now all he does, I guess he's just on the internet crying about how his tampon is wedged in sideways. It's just not very comfortable for him.
I'd say pretty close, but I think it's more about his poor three-legged, one-eyed fucking Jack Russell Terrier that needs $1 million for its surgery. But
wow. Well, and you know what? That is somebody who is a crying bitch. And that is a man right there who is a crying bitch who likes to dish it out, but he can't fucking take it. That's for fucking damn sure.
Yeah, that is. I mean, just a little bit of ribbing at the guy, but no, seriously, that's cold on. He's a bitch. Yeah.
he would probably take that as a compliment that somebody recognized his bitchiness.
Yeah.
So,
here's another dynamic for you, Jason. Some men, what I would like to consider beta men, they actually kind of enjoy the drama between their female and other females. Like, it's fantasized to in such a point that we now have little comedy skits where women get into, you know, these arguments and these fights, and it ends in, you know, jello wrestling or lesbian makeout sessions or whatever. But they actually kind of they get a kick out of it. You see them do things to perpetuate it, like go hang out with that girl. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that would just blow my mind right there, because how long is it going to be before your chick catches on to that shit? You know, that you just perpetuate it.
Right. Well, the thing of it is that he's perpetuating the drama that she wants. You know, so it's kind of a win situation for her in that manner.
Sure. You know, okay.
Yeah, I mean, she gets.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. It's weird, and you see it happen a lot. You know, I don't want to actually kind of make any generalizations, but I'm trying to think of more of a specific example, and for the life of me, I can't. It's 15 minutes to the end of the show, and I'm just dying thinking of all the different ways that you can tie together the psychologies of this whole thing. The little components that mix and match as to why it happens.
A good part of it is that wants more attention. Even these dudes that, like you're saying, that get off on their getting their chicks to find other women and everything else, that's wanting some kind of attention. That's wanting some kind of fucking validity to your life. Now, women, I think we kind of came to the realization or conclusion that women do it as some sort of primitive instinctual thing. That's it's the competition amongst women that to be the best possible birthing the strongest possible offspring or what have you, and it's the attention thing and everything else. Dudes doing it doesn't make any sense to me, and dudes necessarily encouraging it, while admittedly, I will sit back and watch a couple of women who I do not know and have nothing to do with. If they're going to go at it, I will sit down and throw down and watch a fight. I'll watch a fucking train wreck. I'll watch a fucking massacre or shit like that. As long as I'm a safe distance away from it, I'll watch that shit go down. But I'm not going to go out there and try to instigate that shit, because that's just playing with dynamite right there, man.
Yeah, it's playing with dynamite. You got to be, you have to have been in it and involved in it long enough, I think, to know the dynamics of it. Otherwise, you're definitely getting fucking, a face full of flame at some point. Yeah. And women can be crazy. There was this girl when I was married, the ex-sister-in-law of my wife at that time, a girl named Cece, was working in a mobile station, and this other girl that had screwed her boyfriend in high school, which at this point at least 5 to 7 years had passed since high school for this girl, pulls into this gas station to get gas, and this girl Cece comes out of the gas station where she's working from behind the counter, out, walks up to this girl, and she pulls the pen out of her pocket and stabs her right in the eye with it. She ended up getting 4 years in prison for it.
Dude, jeez.
Now you're
talking. Wow, man.
High school boyfriends are supposed to be like an insignificant thing, aren't they?
Well, it depends, man. If it's like the, I would think so. I would say, yeah, the shit in high school is petty. But for some people, it's the biggest deal in the world. And for, if it's your first fucking love and you're a chick, man, and there's all that romance and everything else that's supposed to be going on, and you find out that it's not what you thought it was, that you could take that as a pretty serious blow, I guess.
Right on. Right. But, I mean, all the same, you're talking almost 10 years had gone by.
Yeah.
And she slept with her high school boyfriend. Now, granted, this girl Cece was a slut. She'd had millions of men since. So I'm not really sure what was special about that one guy enough that she stabbed this other girl in the eye over it, but... just the most amazing thing.
Well, you know what I've learned in my, few decades of dealing with women is that they never fucking forget, okay? So if a chick's going to hold a grudge, man, she's going to hold that grudge for the rest of her life. It's not going to go away. There's no making up for it. There's no forgiveness in most women's hearts, right? If you wronged a woman, you will never live that shit down, okay? She will remember. Even when you thought it was all over, it was all good, fine and good. And what? The little fucking thing that brings that up will make your day suck, man. The instant she looks at it, she finds a picture that, it doesn't even have anything to do with it. It's a card, and it reminds her of that day or whatever. You're in for a world of hurt.
Right on, man. Right on. What's kind of also interesting, I think, to me about the whole deal is that usually when they're, when they are predominantly that way, they will often go out and buy things that actually say bitch on it. You know, like a coffee mug that says bitch, or a shirt that says bitch, or I've even seen specially made necklace charms that say bitch and tattoos that say bitch.
It's
like a badge of fucking honor.
But dare call her a bitch. Dare to say, you know, hey, you're a bitch. Yeah, all hell breaks loose.
Right on.
But yeah, they do know. You know what? You know what it is. It's not for us. It's not for the man. Okay. Although I guess it's a warning. It's a warning to the man that she might be with. That hey, be aware that I will, you know, like a fucking rattlesnake, turn and bite your ass. But I think it's more of a thing for the women that they deal with. You know, that not only is she aware of her bitchiness, she's open about it. That's a dangerous bitch as far as other women are concerned. The only bitch that's probably more dangerous is the one that knows they are, revels in it, and keeps it a secret.
Right on. I don't know, though. They kind of expect that ones that are out front are maybe more aggressive about it. You know, but, I mean, I suppose
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it has to be similar to the same dynamic as us. You know, men, when they think about other men, they realize a few things. The quiet ones are the ones you got to watch out for. And the guy who's running his mouth, talking about he's going to kick everybody else's ass, will run if you stand up to him. So, it's
right,
kind of
about right.
The same, right?
I think so. I think the thing is, though, is that there's an element in the woman's mind that says, for a lot of women, that no, I don't want to be the bitch. I don't want to be known as the bitch. You know, even there's especially some of the really bitchy ones. I'm not the bitch. I'm just right. I'm not the bitch. It's just that she should have known better than to treat me that way. Even though I treat everybody else that way, I'm not the bitch. So, yeah. The crazy bitch. That's the one. That's chick. The bipolar fucking schizophrenic bitch.
Yeah, I can't top that one, man. I think you've got it right there. That's the worst one.
There you go. There you go. No, I'm really nice, but I'll eat your fucking brain.
Right on.
If you ever leave me, I'm taking your testicles. Yeah, that kind of shit. Yeah. Okay.
Girl that sets your clothes on fire in the fucking trash can outside of the house because you're 10 minutes late from work.
Right. I'll cut myself and then call the cops and tell them you did it. That's what kind of bitch I am. That kind of shit. No, I never had to deal with any of that.
I try to keep that shit minimal, man. Keep that
shit
minimal.
You learn over time that when you're going to be with a woman, when you're seriously considering being with a woman, there's a screening process. there's several layers of interviews and questionnaires and things like that to go into finally going, okay, you're safe, you pass. You know, you've taken the psychological test. You seem pretty stable. We're going. You're good. You're in. And
right
on. And you suck a mean dick.
Which, of course, is what it was set up to be anyways, man. I mean, by default, you know, the day we were born wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you don't fucking get that, well, hell, you're going to have a hard time.
Yeah. So we got about 6 minutes remaining. And none of the women, none of the girls are going to call in. What is up with that? You know, all these independent, hardcore, hard-charging, you know, intellectual, rational women, they don't want to fucking touch this subject. They want nothing to do with the topic of conversation this evening.
It's because we called it right like it is, man. That's why.
So, I know we got our list. I don't have the fucking list in front of me of show topics. Do you have that list? You know what I'm talking about?
You sent it to me on Facebook, right?
I might have sent it to you on Facebook. I just figured we'd just keep going down the list.
Yeah, it's lists are wonderful, man. I guess one thing I should point out is, as far as I know, we're going to have a Coruscant, or I believe her real name's Allison Lee Jones. We'll hopefully have her this coming Friday. We're going to discuss the Book of Cthulhu for her first time since she left, which would be right about the time that I started associating there, so it's kind of funny in that way. And no, it's not my Facebook, man. So, then next Saturday, I'm not even sure what the hell. Oh, next Saturday, there's actually going to be a debate on the news. It's going to be Jason King versus Kenny Prewitt. So that should be, if anything, mildly entertaining.
Oh, right on.
And I'm trying to get to... What the fuck?
I'm trying to jump on Hotmail right now. I'll find it.
There we go. No, that's the article.
Well, while we're pulling this information up, Chaos Sphere Magazine, the April edition, actually has an article by me, Jason Sorrell, where I'm talking about the state of Satanism for 2011. And what I'm responding to is some comments by a person who was featured in the first issue, which is still available right now. I forget what the website is, chaosphere.com or something like that. But anyways, Chaos Sphere Magazine, it's kind of an old, like the old Nick magazine. It's got a little bit of pinup going on in it. It's got some strange stories in it and shit like that. But anyways, I was responding to somebody who was sitting there saying that the state of modern Satanism basically sucked, you know, talked about the Satanist ghetto and everything else, and had a pretty shitty fucking opinion of Satanism. So I was kind of responding with my own, you know, opinion as to what the state of Satanism was. Anyways, the next show, the title's THX-138. This is that... George Lucas film. This is a kind of a riff on that. This is the pros and cons of being owned by corporate America and how to deal with being a slave. So we're going to be talking about your shitty job and how it sucks. That's what we're going to be talking about. Basically, people that live in Cubicleville and, you know, what that life's like and how it's just kind of fucked up. That human beings are supposed to spend 8 hours of their day processing whatever it is they process over and over again, you know, this monotonous kind of thing going on, and then, you know, wondering why, hey, in the United States, there's no creativity left.
Right on, man. I actually just got to the same list as you started reading it, and... Well, believe it or not, the bullshit show was the one that actually caught my eye. So, I guess, you know, we'll go ahead.
You want to do the bullshit show next?
Yeah, let's do the bullshit show next and then go with the corporate slave the week after that.
Okay. So next week's show is going to be the bullshit show. How long do we got? We got 1 minute. Okay. Next week's show is going to be the bullshit show. We're going to get on the show and we're going to tell lies and we're going to tell, it's going to be like a truth or dare, except we're going to tell lies and we're going to tell truths about ourselves. And we're going to have people call in. We want people to call in and tell us either a life or a lie. Tell us a lie or a fantastic truth. And then we're going to see how many people can call and can detect bullshit. How many people in the chat room are going to call bullshit on the different stories we're telling and what we're hearing. That should be fun.
That should be fun. Yeah, absolutely. So,
All right. Let's do the bullshit show next show.
Right on. I guess a few other things. We definitely, you know, of course, got to mention that if you want to hang out anywhere on the internet, you should be hanging out at SatanicInternationalNetwork.com. We already talked a little bit about Creative Oddity Studios, but you got a bunch of shit that's been going on lately, man. So I think people definitely need to keep real close tabs on it for a little while.
Right, as soon as the stuff actually firms up, I mean, I'm in the talking mode right now about what might be going on, and you know, a book signing thing, the different art shows and shit like that. Nothing's firm yet. As soon as it's firm, I'll post the dates and locations on the website.
Awesome. This has been another successful edition of the Ooze, man. I think we can call it quits.
Right on, man. Okay, cool. I'll talk to you later then. It's been the Ooze. Have a good one.
Around.